Cascadia and the edge of the world, Euphemet presents Night Drift with Jim Perry.
I'm Jim Perry. This is Night Drift, presented by Euphemet. I just got back from a week in Chicago, and I want to thank my friend Daniel Noah of Spectre Revision for the invite. We collected some really, really incredible tape together, and I can't wait for you to hear that in an upcoming episode of Euphemet. And it was nice having another producer along, someone else to manage a few of the logistics. The good thing about Daniel is that he can't help himself. He's always producing, and to my benefit. But first, I sat down with remote viewer hypnotherapist Michelle Freed in her Chicago office. I bring you that conversation tonight. I also want to thank the listeners who came out to hear Daniel and I chat after the screening of The Nightmare at the Music Box Theater in Chicago. The Music Box Theater was so generous and to host us and provide us an incredible stage for some really fun paranormal ponderings. It was so awesome to meet listeners and discover an allegedly haunted couch while we were there. I also heard some listener stories, and you can share yours too. You can email me at jim@euphemet.com and use #nightdrift on Twitter. You can also now send me a voice message. Just go to sayhi.chat/euphemet or find the link in the show notes. I'm Jim Perry. This is Night Drift. Remote viewer Michelle Freed, right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Social media at Euphemet, Euphemet.
I'm Jim Perry. Welcome back to Night Drift. Settling into being back home just for a second before leaving to Eastern Oregon for a few days of relaxation. And I really am excited that everyone is talking about Halloween, is talking about the fall already. And we're working on some really awesome Euphemet stuff for you to listen to that seemed very hyperbolic. We're working on some incredibly fascinating and eerie Euphemet episodes, unlike anything we've ever done before. And it's going to, I think, immerse you into situations as if you were really there in the darkness of night. I'm very excited for you to experience this. But first, tonight, our conversation with Michelle Freed. Michelle Fried is a graduate of the Alternative Practitioner Academy in Arlington Heights, Illinois, and received certification from the National Guild of Hypnotism. She completed the beginning, intermediate, and advanced training programs through the International School of Clairvoyance. Michelle is a talented remote viewer and remote viewing instructor, fully certified in all forms of controlled remote viewing, CRV, and received additional training from Joe McMonagall. All right, to take a second, Joe McMonagall, many would say that he is the best remote viewer ever, and of the sort of four or five pillars of remote viewers back in the government programs, was the standout. So this is a big deal, and he's a really important figure in this. Michelle is also a prominent member of IRVA, the International Remote Viewing Association, and received the War Collier Prize for 2017. She's a member of APP, that's Applied Precognition Project, and the National Guild of Hypnotists. She has research related to remote viewing and parapsychology published with the Journal of Psychical Research, the Parapsychology Association, and 8 Martinis Magazine. Michelle works on special remote viewing projects with ION's Institute of Noetic Sciences on location from her office in Chicago. This is my chat with Michelle Fried. For people that don't know who you are, I've mentioned you a few times on the show. You've helped with bringing really incredible, eclectic set of guests onto this very program. But for the benefit of the audience, tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, I feel like I'm a connector. I like to connect people. And I think that's why I kind of fell into this kind of business, but then there's the other aspect that's a spiritual aspect. Mm-hmm. And so kind of combining the two follows my passion, and you know, it's just a great way to kind of follow the path that I'm given.
Sure. It's kind of like one hand feeds the other in a sort of way.
Yeah, they do. They work together, both sides, you know.
That makes sense. Yeah, and so you you represent a list of folks that are involved in spiritualism, the paranormal. These are people that are creating, I don't know, they're kind of, their life revolves around this work, and they're trying to have it revolve even more. And so when you're in a situation where you're essentially enabling this person to be on their own path, that probably, I don't know, is like probably makes you feel pretty good, right?
Yeah, I like to find people that have a really strong message, you know, that and can share it with people, because I think it's really important for people to be open and, you know, just kind of experience other aspects of life. You know, sometimes we get into the pattern of life, and sure, we're kind of running through life automatically, and we get used to our patterns every day.
Yeah.
And sometimes people, when they come and listen to shows and podcasts, they're looking for something. They're looking for answers. They're looking for community. They're looking for you know, spiritualism or common, like, folk people, you know.
Yeah.
And these people that I look for to share with the world are people that are really good at that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say so. And, you know, we're going to get here in a second to your life and career as a remote viewer. But I think just we're setting the table for people here, and just so I can, per my indulgence, you worked with Art Bell.
Yes. Yeah. That was, that was an interesting, I guess you want to know how that happened, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, please tell.
So, I was going through a divorce, and I was a stay-at-home mom for most of my life. And I got to a point where I had to figure out what I wanted to do with my life. And I had gone to school to become a hypnotherapist. Mm. And through that, Ended up taking some courses in psychic development and then remote viewing. And wow. I made a lot of friends, and I was very attracted to remote viewing. And so on my own, I just, because I like to connect people, I would call different shows back in the day and ask them and pitch my friends who had books.
Sure.
And so I saw Art Bell, and I thought, like I always think, go big or go home. In fact, on the subject line, I wrote, go big or go home.
You didn't.
I did. And then, so I pitched my friend. It was John Vivanco. He's the one that taught me remote viewing, or one of the people. And I got a call back from the producer at the time. And I don't know, he was on the phone with me for like a half hour asking about the guy and what's remote viewing, and that they would get back to me. Well, time went by, like probably a month, and then all of a sudden, this lady called me. Her name was Heather Wade, and she said that she's kind of filling in for Art. He's, you know, not well right now, and she's filling in for him. She loves the guy I was pitching, and that she's apologized for not getting back to me sooner because she lost her producer. And so I said, oh, hire me. And I don't know where that came from. It was just like, it was kind of like, what? It just kind of came out.
Yeah.
And I was like, what did I just do? But I was like, hire me. And she's like, speechless. You know, when do you get a host that's speechless, right? Yeah. So she was, okay, so, okay, let's see how you do. Like, book some shows for me. So in 2 days, I booked 2 weeks of shows.
Wow.
And keep in mind, they had a show every day.
Yeah.
So it was Monday through Friday. So it was like 10 people. And Art told her, you better hire her right away.
Yeah.
And so that's how I got the job. And so unfortunately, he was not hosting when I was working there, but he was training me, and he was the executive producer. So so he taught me a lot of things about, and I think a lot of those things are what go into me with my with LITM Media, finding really interesting people, because he kind of gave me some advice. You know, he said, go to small towns, look at their newspapers for, like, you know, stories on people and special interest stories and things like that. You'll find interesting people that way. You know, it's nice to have all the famous people, but sometimes the stories are in people that aren't so known, you know, and it's, they have passion and really want to tell their story.
Yeah, and are some of the, you know, look at Art, you know, you've got Mel's Hole, for example.
Exactly.
You've got some of these people that they're not trying to be a celebrity or don't have anything to push at all.
Exactly.
They just have an experience that is unreal.
Yeah. And at the time, you know, because Art was so big, we would a lot of times get people, you know, reaching out to us to be on the show.
Sure.
And so we've had some really crazy.
Do you remember one of the craziest ones?
I don't know if it's totally appropriate, but I think
it is for podcast, but maybe not for broadcast. I don't know. I'm
just
guessing.
I'll keep it clean, but
okay.
The topic is kind of. Anyway, so I don't know if you've heard about this guy who had a love affair with a dolphin named Dolly.
No.
It's legit. The guy's legit. Like, he's not legit, but
you're like, wait a minute, let me clarify.
Yeah, that. He thinks he's legit. You know what I mean? Anyway, he has, you can find his documentary. I'm not even going to say his name, but his documentary on YouTube. And it was one of those things where I was like researching to see what this guy's about, and I couldn't stop watching it.
Oh my gosh.
At the same time as being disgusted by it.
Yeah, right.
Because it was, you know, like what you would think a love story would be.
Yeah.
Yeah. So without filling in the middle. But he was like, I want to be on your show. I want to talk about my story. And, you know, I didn't even bring it to Art's attention.
Yeah.
But that was so wacky.
So you got to see what being the gatekeeper to a show like that, to a person, to a broadcaster like that.
Yeah.
Imagine what it was like in 1997 or something.
Yeah. And I know like Art did take risks. Like he didn't know how Mel's whole or what's the time.
Yeah. John Teeter.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yes. He didn't know what would happen. He was willing to take a risk and let people have space, you mm-hmm. know, but there are some boundaries that you just really can't cross over. So
yeah.
Yeah, would, that would be one of I them. Would,
I would say so. So, you know, you started with that program, and then ever since you've had this relationship with podcasting. You broadcast as well. You're a frequent podcast guest. What are some of the favorite things, or what would you say some of your favorite things about that field is for you in terms of media, broadcasting, podcasting?
I think, you know, I, at the time when this was all kind of coming out, like radio shows and then transitioning into podcasting, radio, there weren't that many. It was coast to coast, and there were just a few of them. And what I think was so cool is that I think Art paved this path for so many people to kind of come out and do their own thing. And I think that's great. The other thing that has happened is women, you know, mm-hmm. In radio, women had to have a very deep voice and mm-hmm. they had to sound a certain way and speak like men. But now, you know, we have lots of women talking on many different subjects mm-hmm. and they're just as informative and entertaining as anybody else.
Yeah.
And so this kind of opened up a door for lots of people that you would never think would have a podcast. And we spoke a little earlier today and I was talking about this kind of new shift in how people feel that, you know, to work just for money versus working for their passion and then happen to get some money for. I mean, we all need to make money to live on, but I feel like people don't really want to sacrifice their passion for money. And it's not worth it if they don't want to work a 9-to-5 job to have all that money versus doing something that is passionate.
Yeah.
The other thing is that having so many podcasts helps open up people's minds to things that they wouldn't normally talk about, especially in the area of the unexplained, or I don't know what we call this whole topic, paranormal, right. Or it covers a lot of things. But there's a lot of lonely people out there, including myself, where I want to talk about all this stuff. And my family, you know, got the rolling of the eyes all the time. And they're so sick of me talking and they don't believe it. And that's okay. But I want to find a community where people, I can talk to them, I can learn from them, they can open me up to different ideas too. And so I think this is such a fantastic thing, an opportunity.
Yeah, very much so. And yeah, there are a lot of people that are like that. And some people find that sort of community in becoming a practitioner of something or practicing a skill set. And you have this background with remote viewing, which is so interesting, and hypnosis. And can you explain a little bit outside of the, you know, your media personhood, right? Even though I believe they're probably very integrated. Explain to me about your side that's a practitioner and a teacher in this regard.
Well, so when I decided to take classes in hypnosis, I remember one of the reasons I went into it was because I live in Chicago mm-hmm. and I felt like the community isn't very open to, you know, psychic stuff. Like, you know, I think
interesting.
they're more, they're into, you know, health and whatever, but the psychic stuff wasn't very popular. Like if you are in California, it's like there's more of this openness to, but here I was trying to think, you know, logically, like what can I have a happy balance of between something a little intuition-ish and then hypnosis was the thing that came.
Yeah.
And so,
are you calling it like hypnosis is like a blue collar spirituality in like sort of a sense or a mystical art?
I feel like because when we call hypnosis, we say I'm a hypnotherapist. And also another thing we learn in hypnosis is everything is about our language and our words make us feel something. So if I come around in the Chicagoland area, and I'm making a very big generalization, but and I say to somebody, I'm a psychic, or I say versus I say I'm very intuitive.
Yeah,
they're going to understand and relate to intuitive. If I say psychic, they're going to be like, whoa, she's weird. She's a woo-woo, you know?
Yeah, right.
So it's really in our language. We're really saying the same thing, but each word that we speak or say is creating an emotion for people. You know, like I use the example of feeling sorry. And then I ask people a lot, like, what does sorry feel like? And they'll say, you know, remorse, or you feel, and their body kind of curves and they feel small. But if we switch the word to tell somebody I apologize, it's more empowering. But yet you're getting that same message across. But, you know, when you're with different people, you have to speak in a different way. And so I was kind of thinking that versus me, you know, being a practitioner of Reiki or you know, psychic readings and things like that, I just didn't feel like people would take to that or wouldn't be so open. But if I say I'm a hypnotherapist, you're still going to get a little flack, but a lot. It's a lot, you know, better.
And that makes a ton of sense, yeah.
Yeah, and I also, you know, a lot of people have this thinking of that hypnosis is like what's on TV, you know, the scary stuff. And I really wanted to be able to show people that it's not that. It's hypnosis is a natural state, and we're in it all the time. You know, we're in hypnosis if we're watching TV. And have you ever had that where you're like into your show and you didn't realize somebody walked through the room or left or something?
Maybe not me because I'm hypervigilant, but I enter that state all the time in interviews.
Okay.
All the time I enter into some sort of hypnosis, yeah. I believe.
Yeah. Look, I have three kids and there are times where I'll be into something watching TV or into something creative or whatever it is, and then like 15 minutes later I'm like, did they leave? Like, yeah, I don't, right. Like I was so out of it. Or when you're driving, yeah. You know, and you miss your exit on the highway, that is because you were hypnotized by the road. So what hypnosis is we take that state, and what we do is we can make suggestions to help you change a habit. We can help you overcome phobias or anything like that. We can do age regressions. We can do past life regressions. We're always looking for the source of or the origin of an issue. So one time I had somebody that came to me because she wanted to stop biting her nails. And through the therapy part of hypnosis, I found or discovered that this was a deeper issue than a habit that she just, it came from somewhere. And so I told her, you know, that when you come in, we're going to have to do an age regression to find the origin and then heal that. And this is why I feel like hypnosis works a lot faster than psychotherapy, because that's, you know, we're bypassing critical thinking and we're going right to the source. And so the lady she's like, yeah, about the other appointment, like, yeah, I have to go home and check my calendar. And I'm like, oh gosh. And that's a problem, is like, people aren't ready for how fast it works.
So they're just like, repeat bookings might be a little.
That was low. And so I kind of stopped doing the therapeutic part, unless it's for a friend, because I was getting frustrated, because people just, I don't want to force them, you know?
Right.
But I do regressions, which is really cool. So there's one issue, or not an issue, but I had people come to me that felt like they were abducted. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I always, in my mind, I'm like, oh, I wonder if it was a dream and it was a lucid dream, or if something happened here. But you really can't think of that when you're working with them. You have to kind of put all that aside and just let them lead you. And there was this one year where I happened to have three separate people that don't even know each other, and three different places. One was in Canada, Chicago, and one was in California. And this was within like 9 months apart. And these three people came to me telling me that they felt that they were abducted and asked if I could regress them. And so I did. And what was really weird was they all had the same story. And I'm like, what the heck?
Wow.
They felt like they were off planet, and that they were living, like they breathed water. They were in water. And that was a world. It was like an underwater world. And the vegetation was very unique. They didn't recognize anything. In fact, they all seemed to have trouble with vocabulary, describing colors, patterns, shapes, and this vegetation. And, you know, so I had the first one. I'm like, wow, that's wow. Then the second one a few months later, and then the third one, I'm like, what the heck is going on?
How do you explain something like that?
To this day, so I'm always asking people, when I do these shows and I tell this story, like, email me and tell me if you've had something, because I'd like to kind of look at this, you know, and see, maybe we can remote view it. I don't know. But I'd love to hear people's, you know, if they've had this experience, because I'd like to know what it is.
Well, that's really interesting what you brought up there. And that is, you have a tool set, a diversified tool set, would you say? Whereas you could find some sort of information, some sort of trend within doing hypnosis. There's like, oh my gosh. And unlike some people who may just say, well, that was interesting, I'll, you know, catalog it, right? Or I'll tell people on a podcast. You're saying like, oh wait, actually, maybe I'll use this tool I have, remote viewing, to see if I can gain more insight from it.
Follow the show on social media at Euphomet, EUPHOMET.
Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We'll be right back.
Cascadia and the Edge of the World, Euphemet presents Night Drift with Jim Perry.
This is Night Drift. I'm Jim Perry. Now airing every week in Seattle is the Night Drift Archives. Fridays and Saturdays at 1 a.m., we drift overnight. It's the best of Night Drift. Listen on Alternative Talk 1150 AM KKNW in Seattle and worldwide at nightdrift.com. Night Drift all weekend long on terrestrial radio in Seattle. And if you want more of that, you can find all of this on the Euphemet feed wherever you listen to podcasts. And for right now, let's get back to our conversation with remote viewer Michelle Freed. Let's talk about remote viewing now, like how that started for you and what part of your tool belt is this?
Well, first, before a really good transition story about hypnosis and remote viewing and kind of how I did make that transition.
Yeah.
Is somebody came to me because they lost their keys to a rental car, and those keys to replace were like hundreds of dollars or something. So the guy was really, really panicking. And so the first thing I did was I did a session, a remote viewing session. And it was really weird because I was getting things like a cat and and some metal table and some furry something. I wasn't getting a lot of information. I think I was like a cat. I was so focused on why the heck I got a cat. Right. So then I said, you know, why don't we do a hypnosis session? And what prompted me to do that is because he was so freaked out. Mm. And I thought hypnosis would calm him down. So that was my intention, is just to calm him down. Because in hypnosis, we learn that the subconscious has permanent memory. Mm. And that means that even though you don't recall something in this moment, it's stored there, like forever time, okay? And so we know that on a scientific basis, when you're stressed out, you know, people that have test anxiety, they can't recall their answers, there's actually a physical thing going on in your brain that blocks off your memories and stuff like that.
Wow.
So I'm thinking I'm gonna use hypnosis to calm him down and then see what we get. So I put him in trance, and we did this over the phone, which surprised me that it worked. And he remembered, okay, so he started telling me that it was about his cat. That's why I got the cat in the remote viewing session. He said his cat had an abdominal issue, and he was kind of starving the cat for a couple days. That's how he was curing it. And he needed to get to the store to get food because it was like the third day and he didn't want, you know, anything to happen to the cat. So he was rushing to the store.
It's not official veterinary advice.
No,
this is not what
no,
this program is providing or that person.
So yeah, I don't know.
Disclaimer there.
Yeah, that's good because I don't, I'm like, well, starve the cat. But I know if I had a stomach ache, I wouldn't eat. But the cat, I don't know. But anyhow, that's what happened. No judging. But he remembered everything in the store. He remembered the bill. Like, do you remember your receipt? He remembered the amount.
Wow.
Plus the chain, everything. But he couldn't remember where the keys were. And I'm like, all right. So I said, let's stop. I said, and so now it's time for the hypnotic suggestion. You're going to go to bed. And when you wake up in the morning, you're going to find the keys. So the next day I get a call at around 10:30. And he's like, Michelle, guess what? And I'm like, you found the keys. He's like, I did. He said it was under a stool, you know, in the rug, in the carpet. And he goes, and it's weird because I looked there several times and it wasn't there. And then this time it was. So I'm like, okay. And he had a migraine too. So that was my combination of using hypnosis and remote viewing.
That's fascinating.
And it worked. I mean, it helped him. And And that's, you know, I just am obsessed with remote viewing now because it just can help in so many ways.
Yeah.
So.
And you offer, do you train people in remote viewing?
Yeah, I do classes. In fact, I'm not sure when this airs, but I have a class coming up on September 3rd. Through IRVA, which is the International Remote Viewing Association. They asked me to teach the class and reduce the price. So it's the lowest price you'll ever find. It's like $150 for 8-week class.
Wow.
And it's on Saturdays.
It's so much cheaper than those Ed Dames VHS tapes.
Oh, I'm telling you. Even it's cheaper than I'm pretty cheap for my independent classes. It's $400. I shouldn't say only because it's
affordable. Maybe
it's
not
affordable.
Cheap.
Yeah. But because even $150, it's hard for people. But it is reduced, and I just love teaching. It's my favorite thing in the world. Yeah. Is to teach people.
I'm excited to try it out at some point in time. I've never tried remote viewing before. I think that would be a lot of fun.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I've never done it before. Like, in brief, can you tell people that maybe don't know what we're talking about, what that process looks like?
Sure. So remote viewing is, there are quite a few methodologies.
Mm-hmm.
There's, CRV, controlled remote viewing. I'm only going to talk about that and then mine. So controlled remote viewing is straight from Ingo Swann and Russell Targ and Hal Puthoff, which came from Stanford Research Institute that the military used. And it's very, it follows a protocol, steps, and then you learn these steps, and it's complicated to explain everything about it, but basically you follow through steps, and you're actually using pen and paper, and you're recording your perceptions and sketching is important too, because sketching is directly connected to, or can be directly connected to, your subconscious. So sometimes the sketches become automatic writing, and you don't realize that you're sketching something out. You think it's one thing, but it's actually something connected to the target. The other thing important to know is that it's not the typical format of science or method of science experiments, but we do keep close where people are blind to the target. So when we give a target to someone, all they get is numbers, random numbers. They don't mean anything. They just kind of are connected to the intention of what we want you to look at, whatever the target would be. So back in the day, they actually used longitude and latitude for the numbers, but then they were like, well, people can memorize that. So now we just use a random number generator, and it just gives us numbers. And then we just do that. Behind the scenes, we write out the secret tasking. So we'll write out what we want. So say, for example, we're looking for a missing person. So the secret question would be, sketch and describe the current location of so-and-so. And they don't see that until after their session's done. Once they turn in their session, then we'll send them what the tasking was. And then they can go through their session and see where they hit, what was, you know, going on with that. So that's basically what remote viewing is in this sense. And the CRV method and the one I do, which is transdimensional systems remote viewing, mine is a little different. It's more, it was created by Prudence Calabrese back in the 90s. And it's more civilianized or whatever. It's more relatable, easier to follow. We spend more time in each phase extended, and we're not so strict on the protocol. We want people to kind of find their own way through it. And also our intention is really, it's really good to get the information that we're getting, but it's really about learning more about ourselves, you know, and how we work, how we tick personally, you know, because everybody's different. So our relationship with our subconscious and our relationship with our conscious, and learning that you can apply these lessons to your everyday life. Because a lot of the time we find ourselves thinking things are real, but they're not really real. We call them AOLs, analytical overlay. I don't know if this is getting too confusing.
No, this is great. No.
So an AOL is a period in your session where you draw a conclusion. And that conclusion is really based on left brain logic. It means that if something's red, shiny, and round, my left brain's like, well, it's an apple. But in reality, what if it's a truck? And so we don't want to get so stuck on an apple, because by the time the session ends, we're describing a fruit basket, right? So it's a learning process to teach ourselves that just because that's what we're, we really want to believe it's an apple, we have to learn to let that go and just get the truth, get what is really there. And that is challenging. And a lot of times when people will approach me and say, well, if you can do remote viewing, why aren't you winning the lottery? Well, that's why, because you have to kind of give up what it is to be human to do a really good job of it, you know, because in general, we find patterns and we want things to make sense. And to give that up, like, we're holding on to that because that's what we used in primitive days to determine, you know, how to hunt and gather. We use that. So to give that up, it's our survival. So we're holding on. So there are a lot of people that can do that easily, and they're very good remote viewers. And that, but it is a skill. It's something that can be learned, and something that if you practice, you can do it. And I find myself in split seconds, I can do it. I can't sustain it, but it's something I work on. So
that's awesome. That's so cool. Where would you suggest people go and find more about your work or remote viewing?
My website is butterflyeffectscenter.com, and that's everything in there. And I also have some papers that were published, some research and experiments that we did with remote viewing that might be interesting to some people. So that they're all there.
That's awesome. Well, I can't wait to get into more of that. Now that we've set this primer, next time we can go even deeper.
Deeper. Take people with us. Yes. Yeah. Sounds good to me.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Michelle.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it. Okay. And now, ladies and gentlemen, is the pizza portion of this program. I wish you could enjoy it with us, but maybe somewhere on the astral plane. Right?
Sure. They can travel here, have an OBE.
Yeah.
And join us at Luminati's on Lincoln.
There we go. See, we're going to the Illuminati's.
That's great.
I know what you said.
I say it too.
Oh my gosh, and that pizza was so incredible there. I recommend it to everyone. Thank you to Michelle Fried, and thanks again to everyone who came out and participated in the event at Music Box Theater. Thank you for listening to Night Drift with Jim Perry on Alternative Talk KKNW 1150 AM in Seattle. Go to ufamat.com for more and join us next Sunday. And until then, keep looking up.